You get crop insurance to maybe make up for some of that. But instead, what we do is we look for other places to dump these foods. And maybe it's corn syrup in everything. Right. Maybe it's that we put cheese in the crust of the pizza because we have so much milk, we got to find more places to put the cheese. And we also do it through our trade policy. So all of these fights about yelling at Canada because they have a system that protects their dairy farmers, rather than ruin the economics of Canadian dairy farmers, maybe we could talk about why we have so much milk here, we have to find places to dump it.
Well, we'll end on that note. There's clearly much more to be discussed here, and we'll follow this bill as it makes its way through conference by, it's really got to be the end of September, right?
Mitch McConnell says he wants to do it by July 4th. The current bill expires at the end of September. They can extend it. They've done it before to keep these programs running, but they do wave that deadline around. So we'll see what happens as we get into the heat of the summer.
We've been speaking with Patty Lavera of Food and Water Watch. They're online at foodandwaterwatch.org. Thanks so much, Patty Lavera, for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find shows and transcripts on FAIR's website, fair.org. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
Good evening, everybody. This is Lady Monte. Thank you for listening in to another episode of Bread and Roses Feminist Affairs Programming. Right now, you're listening to the Wasulu Sound, Women of Mali. The first song is called Sally Sidibe. I think that's actually the singer's name. Sally Sidibe, and the name of the song is Wale Numa Don. I was just looking at this wiki page about Mali. There's a lot to learn here. West African nation in Africa. And let's see here, there's some interesting tidbits. Before French colonial rule, there was a very widespread empire. It's part of three West African empires that controlled all the trade across the Sahara Desert, the Ghana Empire, the Mali Empire, and Songhai Empire. And during the Golden Age, there was flourishing mathematics, astronomy, literature, and art. See, I think at the peak of their rule of that region, the Mali Empire covered about an area twice the size of modern-day France at its peak in 1300. So that would be, let's see here, during, no kidding, during the European Dark Ages, I'm pretty sure, right before the Renaissance. So y'all over in Africa, we're getting down on mathematics and educations and sciences and arts, and Europeans were getting down with the plague about that time. Whoa. And let's see here. Mali fell under the control of France during the late 19th century. And that was part of a European grab for Africa in that time, in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And let's see here. The etymology I was looking at in particular was very, very interesting. I love etymology. Words are my favorite. Let's see here. What is going on? I hope y'all are okay with just hanging out with me. I like to learn, and this is an interesting process, I think, that a lot of people forget about. It reminds me of being in middle school, and you're looking up like population graphs and, you know, trying to explore around different cultures. And that was like kind of cool for me. I liked looking into all these different cultures. It was weird having to look through them through like this book, and like everybody kind of had the same variety of facts, right? The same standard facts of population and trade and dot 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 and geography. I don't know. I liked the words the most, especially about the languages. And especially I liked to imagine myself there. And so I think having this CD, I just picked the CD at random from the Kibu Library, and it inspired me to go on and just look up and listen to or learn about what I was listening to. And the name Mali is, well, obviously it's named after the Mali Empire, and the name was originally derived from the I'm going to try and pronounce this correctly, Mandinka or Bambara word meaning hippopotamus, but it eventually came to mean the place where the king lives, and the word carries with it a very a connotation of strength, and so kind of strong. Cool. I'm pretty into this music right now. It's relaxing me. I had a little bit too much tequila tonight, but that's all right. I've been doing the self-love hard today. How about you guys? Fresh fruits, lots of water, and then had a nice bagel. And, oh, don't forget the green stuff, too. That helps you relax a little bit sometimes, but maybe not necessary. Had a nice shower, shaved my legs. That's not part of the deal for self-love, but it makes me feel nice, and so I do it. I just like smooth skin. yeah, thank you for listening with me, chilling out. I've got some more programming coming up. We'll be playing a little bit of beginner Spanish. It's going to be nice and soothing and easy to absorb because it's laid over some binaural beats to help you help your brain kind of get in that mode. And what else? I've got some audio from feminists marching against sexual violence in Spain at the San Fermín Bull Running Festival. So that should be pretty interesting. And let's see what else. We'll talk a little bit about the Occupy ICE thing going on, because that's a big deal in Portland right now. And we'll talk about how we can do self-love and also community love, thinking globally and acting locally. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But for now, yeah, you're listening to the Women of Mali, and the name of this song is, let's see here, Dear Abi Nini. Okay, thank you.
The child is time to be a going. Your goodness, the child has come at last. Oh, your chance in your dusty hand, one way to get to a promised land. Understand. No more blues, dear child. Thank you. behind you. Every Tuesday, child, your fortune's gone find you. Oh, the good life is just a thing. Satin shoes and a feather bed instead.
are here to fight against sexual violence. We believe that we believe in feminist self-autodefense, and in San Fermines, we are not gonna tolerate any sexual assaults. So if that happens, we're gonna fight against it.
Infantry team, you have to take a direct approach to the house, hit the front door, and hold everything inside.
I have seen photos of the target group kids, so I think he has kids. I haven't seen kids there, haven't seen any kind of kid toys in the yard. He is there right now.
20, 30 minutes ago, with more players there, so if anybody's there, we're all going to be in the process. We're going to take them all down. Any questions?
It's going to be right around this curve on the left-hand side. It'll be all over the field and then the park.
Toda buena y toda noble.
Yeah, right here. Right here. Yeah, this is it.
Hi, everybody. You are listening to Lydia Mendoza, Texas America, Texas Mexican Border Music, Volume 15. Let's see here. It says here that Lydia got started in 1927. Nice. In the background here, there's a scene from the film Do Not Resist, which is a powerful exploration of the militarization of police in the United States. I'm layering these two together for obvious reasons, I hope, right now. I don't mean to trigger anybody, but I want to be not silent about what is happening. Watching the militarization of everyday citizens, actually looking at political opinions becoming quite weaponized, political stances also weaponized. We've moved beyond discourse in this country and created a movement, an actionable movement around hate and separation and tribalism and it's really sad. I think it's coming down to it's coming down to two sides, and binaries are never healthy for anybody. And there's fundamentalism in violence, and there's fundamentalism in our languages, and having that innate sense of us and them and upholding that more so than anything else, more so than upholding kindness or humanity or self-love, even, you know, if the binary is not working, you could always just be one, you could be a singularity. But I think we're forgetting all these things, and we're focused on the exact concept that keeps us divided, which is that there is an us and there is a them. I don't want to focus on that. I want to talk about it. It's a shame the phones are down in Cebu right now, or else I'd have you call in and we could talk about it. Maybe some of you would. My name is Lady Monte.
I just said you were associated with it. I can see that you were possibly. other federation, just from looking at the outside. If you were outside looking in, maybe. You want to leave that keys with him?
Yeah, my keys with him. Tell him my bond man supposed to be coming to get the money from tomorrow. Everything that should exact change.
How much is this?
I'm watching a black man in handcuffs hand over cash to a SWAT officer on this YouTube video. It's a scene from the film.
It's like $1,000. He wants me to give it to that guy, but I think we should seize it. I think we should seize it because it's found on his person.
He wants me to go give it to that guy, but I think we should seize it.
I'll give him a change and a lighter. Hey, this right here was in his son's pocket. He had cash that's getting seized, but that's the remainder of the change that he had in his pocket. He had it, so he had it in his pocket. That's it. We located a small amount of marijuana. Just a small amount of marijuana, personal use it appeared to be. And that's about it. It happens. Drug warrants are, you know, 50-50.
So I guess you can go on YouTube and look for Do Not Resist if you're interested. There is the full runtime is 1 hour 12 minutes and 21 seconds. It was released back in 2016. Golly. While we're on this topic, we could just shout out the campers out at the Occupy protest down on Southwest Macadam Avenue. This is an ongoing occupation of the land surrounding Portland's ICE Detention Center, and it's located at 4310 Southwest Macadam Avenue. Bring tents, sleeping bags, blankets, art supplies, toilet paper, pads, tampons, camping ovens, flashlights, generators, batteries, as well as whatever items you may find useful. Let's party till ICE are gone for good. I went down there. Second day, I think they had that camp and brought down some vegan, gluten-free stuff, trying to keep it clear of the allergens and all those things, thinking about those people. With the allergies, feel so bad when they can't eat, you know, that's okay, I'll just have some, whatever. So, don't want to leave those guys out. If you want to bring food down there, think about allergens, and some common allergens are things like peanuts, soy, eggs, dairy, as well as gluten, and meat. A lot of people don't eat meat, especially if you're a radical protester. I think, oh my gosh, I think there might be a lot more into this veganism situation than I previously supposed. Don't get me wrong, I still like chicken a lot, and eggs, and goat, and fish. But I'm beginning, first of all, I'm much happier when I eat a lot of vegetables and drink a lot of water. Have you guys noticed that? And then second of all, there's just too much toxicity these days in how we get our food and how we raise our food and how we consume our food as well. You guys ever noticed how complicated it gets? I used to be a chef. 10 years I was a chef. And I've seen some really crazy things in that industry. Not so things. I was a butcher for a while. butcher, baker, candlestick maker. True story. I did that for Christmas a couple years in a row. but yeah, it's a little triggering for me to talk about actually and think about, because it's one of those things that I don't get why people do that. And it's, can think about wanting to purchase an experience and, you know, asking someone to deliver that experience for you. I mean, sure, that's fair. Everybody wants to go on a ride now and again, but, you know, going out to eat, I wonder what would happen if people hosted potlucks more than they did that. I wonder what would happen if we cooked for each other and cooked for yourself too, because you deserve to be cooked for. And that's what I think of when I left that industry, it was kind of at a really long time coming. I was so over it. And I didn't cook at all for a long, long time. And I eventually got to the point where I was okay with cooking for myself again, and gradually got to be a little bit okay with cooking for other people too, and sharing what I can do in the kitchen with other people. But I got to that point when I started down my self-care journey, and I realized that I could put as much effort into taking care of myself as much as I do to other people. And that was something that was a huge turning point, being able to look at myself as my own friend and have compassion for me, and being able to take steps that, for me, it's easy. Pick up a knife, cut some veggies, boil some water, noodles, sauce. Hey, that's a really good meal. And it's nice, too, to have skills. It makes you feel accomplished. It makes you feel confident. And just imagine if instead of going out to eat, you'd shared that confidence and those skills with your community. Because it's not just a meal you're sharing, it's connections you're sharing, and it's also information. And the thing I've been realizing lately about information is that it's so twisted. It's so twisted, and I think it's because of the screen thing. You can look at information, and you can, like I was doing earlier with the Wikipedia Molly page, I'm sure I could read you some facts, and we could talk about what happened in the past and, you know, all these things, but I'm sure there is so much more to that country and that history than what I can read off of a wiki page, you know? And I think that's something that we're highly detached from. There's so much reading going on, texts, scrolls, and platforms, that people have begun to place more importance on what people are writing and saying. And it's so interesting. So we need to be careful with our language, obviously, if we're going to be such a word-centric culture, you know? And I think we should also, I don't know, man, turn off your, this is going to sound so cliche, but I've been so much happier. I turned off my phone today for like 4 hours. That was great. You know, got roommate drama, got business drama, got, you know, or just other things that are giving me a headache. And I turned it off and I was like, oh my gosh, they can't find me here. They can't find me here when my phone's off. People have to come to my face and talk to me. And it's amazing. I didn't deal with any bull all day today. So, I don't know. Just think about it. Think about it, because the information that you get from a screen can't be reliable. It is not reliable. Facebook taught us that. If you ever had a friend who, you know, texts you a really long conversation and gets all their feelings out and things like that, and then go back and in real life, to your face, they're completely different. I don't know if it's two-faced. I think it's just a different form of communication that I'm beginning to understand now. The screen languages are not real because they're so highly manipulatable. It's like art a little bit, you know what I mean? It's almost imaginary. And I guess you could choose to believe what you read on a screen. But frankly, I've been made such a fool of by doing that. Haven't you guys? Don't you feel silly and stupid after getting into a firestorm conversation on Facebook? Like the next morning, it's almost like a shame hangover. And your feelings are so easily manipulated, just as those keys are. You can type, touch, trigger. And the thing is, when you're in the same room with other people, there's still information sharing going on. It's called talking. It's called feeling. That's data. I feel like 7 of 9, like all the time when I'm walking around this human race. This does not compute. There's no logical sense to this human behavior. But I kind of like that. Maybe I'll be 7 of 9 for Halloween. But here's the thing. There is data exchange going on when there's multiple people in a room. You're looking at each other. You're hearing each other. You're smelling each other. You're breathing in each other's molecules. And that's the most important thing. So whether you're going to be political or whether you're going to be sharing a moment or a feeling with somebody, I feel like it's just more real. You could get your jollies off and put it online and wait for the likes and the clicks and wait for the responses. You know, it's good to know that people are paying attention to you sometimes, and that makes you feel more confident to keep doing what you're doing. But I think if you're going to be building something that you can count on, there's got to be other people in the room. That's how I feel. I can imagine the human race at this point, very old-fashioned, sort of like computers, you know, when they had to put those, or what was those? I'm thinking of the old fuse boxes, you know? I'm thinking of the old fuse boxes, but it's like little information. You can plug it in, maybe like a Sega cartridge or a Nintendo cartridge or something like that. It's such a beautiful little loop system, like a battery system. If you can just line up all the people right next to each other, hold them, they're holding hands, they're being sweet, they're talking to each other, they're happily exchanging information with each other, or angrily. Okay, well, I am gonna try and attempt to exchange some more information with you right now. And there's human beings are kind of cool, kind of weird, very strange, but we're super smart. And we've learned that beats and rhythms help us remember things better. That's why all of the that's what I wanted to read about Molly. Let me tell you this really quickly. Oh my gosh, it's education of culture, music. Okay. The Malian musical traditions are derived from the griots, who are known as keepers of memories. Malian music is diverse and has several different genres. And you know, the griots is a West African poet. They're considered historians, storytellers, a praise singer, poet, and or a musician, the repository of oral tradition, and is seen as a societal leader due to his or her traditional position as an advisor to royal personages. Ah, good Lord. As a result of the former of these two functions, he or she is also sometimes called a bard. I guess that would be the European equivalent of a griot. But so poetry, yo, with the beats. I'm so excited to be talking about this for real. I actually have a poem, and it's called Intersex and PDX, Bringing the Fire. And one of the lines is like, poetry is the word set to replace history. First God spoke, and into the void blew some smoke, the very beginning of Spit and Fire. Anyway, I could talk about my own poetry all day, but it's a nice trick when you're trying. People always ask me, how do I remember all these words? And I'm like, well, it's because of the beat. And yes, it's because of the beat, but it's also because the beat itself is tied to the words, which are tied to my emotions. That's how I feel. I feel, and I kind of reposit it there on the paper, there in the poem. And it's not about remembering the exact words. It's about remembering the exact feeling. So that's how I practice my poetry. And move in and out of that state as much as I can. The beats help, the rhythm helps, and the structure helps, and it all ties together. So we're going to be learning a little bit of Spanish for the next about 15 minutes or so, and it's going to be set over some binaural beats. And so this is like something else you can YouTube, and you can listen to it while you're sleeping, and it softens up your brain and then deposits some musics and some phrases in there and all the things, and maybe it's brainwashing you to do something. I don't know. Hopefully you're being brainwashed to go bust down a wall, because that's what needs to happen. Anyway, learning Spanish. Here we go. And go.
Good morning. Buenos dias. Buenos dias. Buenos dias. Good afternoon. Buenas tardes. Buenas tardes. Buenas tardes. Good evening. Buenas noches. Buenas noches. Buenas noches. Good night. Buenas noches. Buenas noches. Buenas noches. Hello. Hola. 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 Goodbye. Adios. 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 Please, por favor, por favor, por favor. Thank you. Gracias. 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 Excuse me. Discúlpeme. 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 Yes. Sí. 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 No. 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 Left. Izquierda. Izquierda, izquierda. Right, derecha, derecha, derecha. One, uno, uno, uno. Two, dos, dos, dos. Three, tres, tres, tres. Four, cuatro, cuatro, cuatro. Five, cinco, cinco, cinco. Six, seis, seis, seis. Seven, siete, siete, siete. Eight, ocho, ocho, ocho. Nine, nueve, nueve, nueve. Ten, diez, diez, diez. 11. 11. 11. 11. 12. 12. 12. How are you? ¿Cómo estás? ¿Cómo estás? ¿Cómo estás? I am good. You? Yo estoy bien. ¿Usted? Yo estoy bien. ¿Usted? Yo estoy bien. ¿Usted? What is your name? ¿Cuál es tu nombre? ¿Cuál es tu nombre? ¿Cuál es tu nombre? My name is. Mi nombre es. Mi nombre es. Mi nombre es. Can you speak English? ¿Puede hablar inglés? ¿Puede hablar inglés? ¿Puede hablar inglés?
Hey, no need, because we're learning Spanish right now. Just forget about that last one.
I don't speak Spanish well. Yo no hablo bien español. Yo no hablo bien español. Yo no hablo bien español. What have you been doing? ¿Qué has estado haciendo? ¿Qué has estado haciendo? ¿Qué has estado haciendo? I have been. He estado. He estado. He estado. Are you busy? ¿Está ocupado? ¿Está ocupado? ¿Está ocupado? I am busy. Estoy ocupada. Estoy ocupado. Estoy ocupada. Estoy ocupado. Estoy ocupada. Estoy ocupado. I am not busy. No estoy ocupado. No estoy ocupada. No estoy ocupado. No estoy ocupada. No estoy ocupado. No estoy ocupada. Can I join you? ¿Puedo unirme a ustedes? ¿Puedo unirme a ustedes? ¿Puedo unirme a ustedes? Would you like to join me? ¿Te gustaría acompañarme? ¿Te gustaría acompañarme? ¿Te gustaría acompañarme? What is the time? ¿Qué hora es? ¿Qué hora es? ¿Qué hora es? The time is. Son las. Son las. son las... Are you hungry? ¿Tienes hambre? ¿Tienes hambre? ¿Tienes hambre? I am hungry. Tengo hambre. Tengo hambre. Tengo hambre. Are you thirsty? ¿Tienes sed?
Okay, everybody. It's been 2 years since 43 college students in Mexico went missing, and we still don't know exactly what happened to them. Some allege it was a mass killing covered up by the Mexican government.
I am thirsty.
On Monday, this was back last year.
Tengo sed.
There have been protests in LA.
Tengo sed. How are you
feeling?
So
this article I'm reading right now.
¿Cómo se siente?
Was
¿Cómo
written
se siente?
In
¿Cómo
2016, and that was 2 years. So 2014, it's been 4 years now since these students have disappeared. They're still disappeared.
I feel good. Me siento bien.
I don't feel good.
Me siento bien.
And so, I don't feel good. We've been talking about languages. We've been talking about connections, and we've been talking about how things get lost with the screens and not being emotionally attached to the situation, whatever we're learning about. And so I'm going to ask all the listeners right now to create an emotional attachment around that fact. 4 years since 43 Mexican students have disappeared, and we still have not found them. This is a kind of an epidemic at the border and in Mexico. There are more than 3,000 people missing in Mexico as a result of the battle between drug cartels and the government, and who knows how the U.S. government plays into that. Shady, shady, shady things. And so we're gonna create an emotional attachment with a few minutes of silence here on air. It's the second time I'll be performing this peaceful protest on air, and it's heart pounding every time, because you're not supposed to do that as a radio person. Don't let dead air happen. But as a part of a silent protest, we're going to go for 4 minutes this time, for no broadcast sounds coming out of this air room. And this is to demonstrate not only contemplation and empathy for the mothers who are missing their children, for the mothers who have been separated from the children in cages at our country's borders right now. And we're also going to stand in solidarity for the mothers separated from their children in the founding of this nation, and the genocide of Native Americans and the slavery of African Americans, Black people, because they were still Africans when we took them from Africa. And African American is just a way to say that we're trying to move past it. But we're going to create an emotional attachment right now, and hopefully when we come back have a little bit more understanding. So I'll go for 4 minutes starting now. Thank you, everybody, for joining me in a few minutes of silence to honor, respect, and just think about our brothers and sisters, our siblings, family members who have been silenced and can't speak up for themselves right now. So we stand in solidarity with you. Do what you can here in your own community. Think globally, act locally, support movements, donate to Don't Shoot PDX, donate to Black and Brown Lives Matter. And, you know, do that thing we were talking about and just reach out to your neighbor, you know, invite him over for lunch and talk to him face to face. Don't think you know somebody because you read about them on a screen. Rude. We're going to go back to music from Molly. Up next is going to be Hard Knock Radio. This is Lady Monte. Thank you for listening to Bread and Roses. Also KBOO Portland.
Be very hard, and I can't even explain to them how wonderful and the gifts that I have gotten from the people that I've met.
That was Jolene, a Lumina Hospice volunteer. Join us for Local Folks Podcast Episode 7 as she shares her experiences. You can find Local Folks at kboo.fm, go to audio, list of programs, podcasts, web only, and click on Local Folks.
The Oregon Historical Society is featuring 50 years of KBOO. The exhibit was created to relay our history and demonstrate the importance of community radio, featuring archival photographs and ephemera collected from KBOO's 5 decades of broadcasting. The exhibit tells our story in our members' own collective words. Our online tour features highlights from the exhibit and companion audio clips to enrich visitors' experiences. The exhibit runs until July 29th at the Oregon Historical Society at 1200 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information and audio clips can be found at 50yearsofkboo.fm.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.